to SecureFreedomRadio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
Welcome back. We're joined by my friend and colleague at the Center for Security Policy, our Executive Vice President, Jim Hansen. He is currently working on the War of Ideas. I call it the Special Forces in the War of Ideas, but he happens to bring a background in the actual Special Forces, the United States Army's Green Beret. Jim, it's good to have you with us. Thank you very much for joining us.
Always a pleasure, Frank.
I want to start off with a hearing that's going to be taking place on Tuesday of next week in the Senate Armed Services Committee. I spoke with Elaine Donnelly about this yesterday and was horrified to learn that while the subject of the hearing is the very controversial and I'm convinced very problematic decision of Ash Carter and Barack Obama to put men and women in combat positions, that we are not going to really have the committee focusing on whether that's advisable at this point, but just how it's being implemented. And I wanted to sort of take stock with you as a guy with a distinguished record in the United States military, how your comrades are probably looking at what's happened here, which is to say that a tasking went out to evaluate whether this was advisable, putting women in combat positions. And basically, the policymakers have simply disregarded findings by the Marines, at least, that that wasn't so.
Yeah, I think that's the true disturbing part is if you want to do something, it's okay to ask, it's okay to think about it, it's okay to consider it, and then you study it. And if the study says it's a bad idea, you should pay attention to that. And, you know, I mean, maybe you confirm the results, maybe you do some other things, that's the scientific method. But the bottom line is, if the answer is no, and you say, well, but it's such a good idea, we're going to do it anyhow, there's a problem. You know, and that's been the concern all along with things like women going to Ranger school. You know, are the standards going to change when you send women there and they want to make sure a certain number graduate? If the standards change, then it's no longer a viable thing. If for some reason you don't change the standards and everything goes through, then you've got a different situation. But unfortunately, there have been a lot of concerns that that's exactly what happened with the women in Ranger school. And it sounds like now that may be what happened as far as the Marines saying, it looks like women may not be able to shoulder the load in the same way that men can, that they may get injured in larger numbers, that there may be a number of issues that would make this a bad idea. And all of a sudden, they wave a magic wand and that study goes away. That's not the way it's supposed to work. The idea that it was going to become an involuntary assignment is a new twist to this. I don't know if that's in order to make it completely, you know, equitable between men in positions and women positions, then okay, if you might have gotten this assignment as a woman or a man, there is no difference. That's insane. You know, there was a point in time where they were considering, okay, there are maybe some women who could do this. There are maybe, you know, the studliest among them who can pull that off. And that was a situation where it was less absurd. But the idea that you would take women who have no interest in that or who aren't equipped for it and then assign them to it is gonna, like you said, it's going to hurt them, and it will absolutely hurt the readiness and combat effectiveness of those units.
Yeah. Let me ask you this, Jim. I talked about this with Elaine yesterday, and I think it's a pretty easy way for most of us who've not had your, you know, experience in combat to get our heads around this. Somebody pointed it this way. If you've got a squad that's got six men and six women in it going up against 12 Taliban, let's say, all of whom happen to be young men, how's that likely to work out? Now, to some extent, you know, better firepower, better training, better skill sets and so on can make that less of an unfair fight. But what's your sense of whether that's likely to prove to be a problem?
Yeah, at some level, there are technical fixes to it, you know, and that may be something that could be overcome. But in the end, I think the issue is it a wise move? And is it something that is going to actually make the military stronger? And I don't think they've made that case yet. And they've especially left themselves open to the idea that they're doing this for purely political purposes, not for readiness or anything else.
That's the thing that I hope will be exposed and challenged and undone ultimately, starting with this hearing on Tuesday. But we'll see. Jim, let me switch gears on you. We've got developments taking place practically daily now in Europe that suggest that a similar kind of political miscalculation is translating into security problems for not just a number of the countries there, but maybe for Western civilization as we've known it in Europe. Let's talk a little bit about Sweden's announced decision that it's going to be removing perhaps as many as 80,000 of the immigrants that they've taken in. Germany's declaration that they've got some 600,000 of these folks that have gone missing, some of whom are rampaging around in their country. And more broadly, this sense that, you know, whether it's the covering up of Italian cultural heritage in deference to the Iranian visiting president or, you know, so many other accommodations that we're watching Europe submit to the jihadists in a way that will be a problem for us as well as for them in due course.
I think they are reaping the rewards of the policies of open borders, of not any, not even a fig leaf of assimilation, and the fact that they offered such a massive social welfare system that they put themselves in the position of inviting in people who have nothing in common and no intention of becoming part of the culture. They're attempting to take over the culture, and they're not shy about it. That's the truly stunning thing, is they've been saying this all along, that they have no intention of becoming European, German, French, Swedish, Danish, whatever it is. They have every intention of turning those places into Islamist enclaves. And at this point, it looks like the authorities in most of those countries have submitted, as you said, and are basically prostrate in front of the assault on their culture, their people in Cologne and Hamburg and other places, and all over Scandinavia as well. The rape statistics are off the charts. It's a shame. It's a disgrace. And unfortunately, or maybe hopefully, it's an object lesson we can learn from.
Jim, let me ask you about one piece of this that I think has generally not gotten as much attention, the you know, the Cologne rape and groping escapade at New Year's Eve and the like have gotten a lot of attention, and to varying degrees some of these other problems. But what I'm struck by is that underpinning much of these problems and the dangers that are associated with this migration, or hijra, as the Muslims have called it, is that they're tapping into an infrastructure that is in place in Europe of jihadist mosques and cultural centers and organizations that are going to make these folks radical. Large numbers of them, at least, I suspect, if they didn't come in pre-wired that way. Again, as you say, what are the lessons for us of all that as well?
Well, I think after the attacks in Paris, the French actually started raiding mosques. Now, they didn't do that because they hate Muslims. They did that because, as you said, that's where the problems are. That's where the indoctrination, the radicalization, the preaching of jihad is happening. Now, that's something that's very touchy. You know, even in Europe, where religion is much less revered and much less protected than it is here, they still have a fairly strong aversion to doing things like that. We have huge religious protections in the United States, but the bottom line is inciting violence is not protected religious speech. And at some point, we're going to have to take on the fact that mosques in the United States are preaching things that no one should be, and we have to do something about that.
We will certainly be tracking it at the Center for Security Policy. Thanks in no small measure to your great work. Jim Hansen, thanks so much for joining us today and for all that you do. Keep it up, and we'll talk with you again next week. We'll talk with the rest of you as well, I hope, on Monday. Same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Gaffney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.